about making New Year's resolutions. You may not make them, but you think about it. And so I was thinking about what I would like most this year. And what I would like to do most this year is to know and love Jesus more. If I had one request, that would be what it would be. Now, that's going to take some determination and dedication on my heart and on my life. But it's also going to, through that, I believe it's going to allow me to have a closer relationship with the Lord. And hopefully, if you've made New Year's resolutions, hopefully part of that is that you grow deeper in your relationship with the Lord. If I do that one thing, if I get to know Jesus and love Him more, it's going to make a lot of changes in some other areas in my life. I'm going to learn to love people more. I'm not going to get so irritated with folks as quickly. There will be some things that I will do differently in my life if I love Jesus more. I will probably spend more time with Him if I love Him more. We're going to be talking about Malachi, and we're starting a subject, starting a series on the book of Malachi. I've asked you last week to read it, and many of you have, and said, man, I've got some questions. And so, just hold on. We'll get to those questions. But don't miss a Sunday, because probably the Sunday you miss will be the time I answer that question. And I'm not going to repeat it. But you could get a DVD, I guess, or a CD. We do record our sermons. So, now, if I were to give Malachi, a title for his book, this would be the title. I love you, do you love me? I love you, do you love me? This is a good question that we need to ask ourselves. First question is, do you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that God loves you? Do you struggle with that? There are some people who struggle with that very question, whether or not God loves them. And a lot of times it's because of the struggles that they find themselves in. And part of Malachi is these Israelites were struggling with that question of, God, do you really love me? Because it looks like from everything we're going through that you have kind of left us. And so that question is a pinpoint of the Israelites' lives is, do you really love us? And if you're struggling with that question today, it's okay to own that. It's okay to say, I'm struggling with that. Sometimes I don't know if God really loves me. And it's okay to say that. The second question, do I love God, will often manifest itself by the things that we do, the things that we say. And so, I want to give you an introduction to this book of Malachi before we jump into it. But first, let me say that history has not been my strong suit. Okay? Some of you love history. When I was a kid in school, I did not like history. I liked to play. And I did not like history. I was talking to a kid this last week, and I said, how's school going? I think he's in about the fifth grade. I said, how's school going? He said, well, my teachers do not appreciate my humor. And I thought, that was me. My teachers did not appreciate my humor. And so, anyway, when I got to college, so let me just tell you, Mississippi education is kind of really low on their grade level, okay? It's not real high. And so when I went to college, boy, my eyes were opened. And I remember going to, well, of course, if you go to college, you've got to take world history. It's kind of one of the required courses, and I went to world history, and after my first test, I knew I was in trouble. I knew I was in big trouble. So with my paper in my hand, my test results in my hand, I went to the professor. And with the most pathetic look I could muster, showed him my D minus, and I said, "What can I do?" Well, I don't remember his response, but I do remember this. By the end of the course, I had a C. Okay? So, I'll just let you know, I went to a college on academic probation. That means that if you don't pass the grades, you don't get to go to school here. Well, I finally got over my, well, no, I didn't. I still love to play foosball, but that's really what I majored in when I was in college. And so history has not ever been my strong suit, okay? But in order to get into Malachi, we have to do a little history. And so I'll do the best I can with the history. And so what I've done, I've put a timeline up here about what's going on in history. Do you have that? All right, I'm going to get out of the way so you can see. Okay, so you remember Zechariah, Haggai, they were prophets in the year about 520. Now, the temple was being built at that time. As a matter of fact, the building of the second temple was completed in 515. Okay? And so Zechariah and Haggai were preaching during the construction of the temple. Now, this is the second temple. This is not Solomon's temple. This is the second temple. So Solomon had built a temple. The Babylonians came in. They destroyed the temple. And then Ezra was working, and he was able to go back, and he started the construction of the temple. And later on, so Haggai and Zechariah were preaching during this time. And they completed the temple in 515 B.C. And Nehemiah became the governor of Judea from 445 to 433 B.C. And they built the walls of Jerusalem. Now, it's during this time that Malachi began his prophetic messages. He began preaching. And so, he's preaching to a group of people who were actually about a century from the time they built the temple to the present time, and things were not very good in Israel at the time. They were discouraged. They were downcast. There was, like, as I mentioned, there were just a difficult season in their life. Now, the first verse of Malachi chapter 1 says, the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. Now, Malachi means my messenger. So Malachi is God's messenger, okay? And he was the messenger of Almighty God to the people of Israel, a people who had fallen away from the Lord. Now, so what we're going to do today, we're going to discuss and we're going to look at why people fall away from the Lord. One reason people fall away from the Lord is discouragement. Have you ever been discouraged? Did you find yourself falling away from the Lord during those discouraging days? Okay. Well, this is where the people of Israel was. This is where the priests were. This is where the Levites were. They were discouraged in their relationship with the Lord. They were discouraged in life. Things just got tough for them. They had been waiting on God's promises for decades. They had been waiting on God's promises for centuries. And His promises, the things that God had promised, had not been fulfilled in their lives. And a lot of times, maybe you are in that situation where you're waiting on God to answer that promise and answer that prayer, and it seems like that God is not coming through. And God says, I'm still here. I'm still with you. I'm still there to help you. Just hold on, hold on, hold on. Okay? Don't quit. Don't give up. But see, the children of Israel had come to a point where they had was feeling like, why should we jump through the hoops? Where is God now? Why follow all the laws? Why go to church? Why pray? Why sing songs of worship? Why give our hearts to the Lord? Because it doesn't seem like we're getting anything in return. That's where they were. Evidently, God has forgot about us. Their devotion waned, apathy set in, disillusionment got the better of them, and their faith and trust in the Lord began to dwindle. And because of that, they began to slip back into old behaviors. Okay? They began slipping back into the worship of false gods. They began slipping back into just a lot of things that we'll get into as we get into Malachi a little bit more. But discouragement set in and they just lost heart. Sandy shared last week, she came up after the invitation or the invitation and said, I want to share something with the church. She, if you were here, you remember her stating that, how long ago? About a year ago, your dad passed away. Dad passed away. She received the house, but the house kind of fell apart physically. And it seemed like one thing after another thing after another thing, and she lost heart. And she said she just kind of was numb. And she would go through those, has been going through this season for a year. She just kind of numbed herself and really didn't put herself into the work of the Lord. It didn't really give herself to the Lord that much just because of the burdens that she has been through. And probably all of us can relate to that. Probably all of us can relate to that. So let me ask you a question. How long have you been waiting for God to fulfill the promise He's made to you? Has it been a year? Has it been 2 years? Has it been a decade? I want you to know that God is faithful to His promise. But I also want you to know that His time is the best time. Okay? And that He knows where you are in your situation. He hasn't forgot about you. And He cares about you. You need to know that. What do you do when you get discouraged? There are some people actually, when situations come, when problems come in their life, they begin to seek the Lord harder. And they begin to go deeper with the Lord and try to understand what's going on in their life and try to connect with the Lord because they know that the Lord has the answers for any problem that they face. Others, however, withdraw and they go the other way. And so I just want to encourage you, when, not if, but when these times come, that you press into the Lord and don't give up on your relationship. Okay? Just keep on pressing in. Keep on pressing in. So because we have a smaller church, I see people who are here for a while and then they kind of fall away. You know what I'm thinking if I don't see them in a week or two and I know that there's not health problems? I'm thinking that they're going back to their old ways. So I give them a call and I say, "How are you doing?" "Oh, I'm struggling right now." "I thought so. How can I pray for you?" And if you look around you, there you will see people who are on fire for the Lord for a while, and then they just kind of, you wonder where they are. Maybe I made them mad. But maybe they're just struggling with life and they're struggling with temptation. And you know what the best thing you can do during that time? As a brother or sister in Christ, you can call them up and say, "How's it going? I just wanted to pray for you because I haven't seen you in a while." Probably the worst thing that can happen is that a person who's been here for a while exits and nobody ever connects with them. Probably the worst thing that can happen. Because they need to know, listen, they need to know that God loves them. They need to know that somebody cares. And oftentimes it's through us that they get reconnected to the Lord. Okay? Malachi chapter 1, verse 2. "I have loved you, says the Lord. I have loved you, says the Lord." One message, one truth that God wants you to know is that He loves you. Okay? He loves you in your good times. He loves you in your bad times. He says, God says, "I love you. I know you're broken. And I love you anyway. I know you're busted. And I love you anyway. I know your heart is insincere. And I love you anyway. I know that your motives are selfish. I love you anyway. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you." That's the message of Malachi. "I know you're discouraged," God says, "but I love you. Don't leave me. I love you." You need to know that God hasn't forgotten about you. You are still the apple of His eye. He still sings over you. On your worst hair day, God loves you. On your worst sin day, God loves you. Or no hair day. Thank you. Very much, Gia. Appreciate that.
I wasn't
talking to you. I just wanted to embarrass you, Gia. That's okay. So, now, God has not stopped loving you. Okay? He's not stopped loving you. But the people in Israel began to question, "God, do you really love me?" In that passage of Scripture, "In what way have you loved us? In what way have you loved us?" Because they were kind of like, "God, I don't know if you love me or not." Have you ever been there? "God, I don't know if you love me or not. In what way have you loved me? I can't see it." And then God begins to share with them some ways that he's loved them, and I'll talk more about that next week. But, you know, the question often comes to our minds, Lord, if you really love me, why all this trouble? If you really love me, why am I finding myself having these difficulties? I was reading a story not long ago, and actually it's about an article in the newspaper that the author was sharing, and he said that, the article went something like this. He said there was a smoke billowing out of a window of an apartment complex, and so rescuers came, a fireman came, they saw this smoke, and they came and went up the stairs of the apartment complex, broke down the door, and there was this man lying in this smoldering mattress. And so they got the man out of the bed and doused the flames of the mattress, and then they asked him, what caused this? What happened? He said, I don't know. It was this way when I got in it. And many times we put ourselves in situations that bring trouble upon us. And we're just like that man in that smoldering bed. We wonder, why in the world are we getting burned when we put ourselves in those situations? There was a man one time who was working, and so it was lunchtime, and he was sitting down by his co-worker, and he opened his lunch bag, and he started grumbling and growling, saying, I get the same blasted lunch every day. I can't stand it. And the guy says, well, who packed your lunch? He said, I did. And so, you know, many times we're our own problems. Many times we're our own problems. And so the Lord is trying to help us to make better decisions in our life so that we don't have to get there. What's that statement says? If you keep doing the same things, you'll always get the same results. Is that insanity? Thank you, Dan. You have insanity, and so you're wondering why you keep getting the same results, but you keep doing the same things over and over and over. And that's what the Israelites were doing. And then they were blaming God for their problems. Okay? And I just want to encourage you. Listen, you need to take ownership of your stuff. And let God work on your stuff. Don't blame anybody else for your stuff. It's your stuff. Okay? When we discover that it's my stuff, then we can start changing it. Rather than, as long as you're blaming someone else for your stuff, you will never get any better. Because there will never be any need to change because it's everybody else's fault. Okay? Adam said to God, God, it's Eve's fault. And then Eve said to God, no, it's the devil's fault. The devil made me do it. And as long as we're blaming somebody else, we're never going to change. There's also another reason why we fall away from the Lord. Did you know that affluence can cause a person to fall away from the Lord? As a matter of fact, the reason the Israelites fell away from the Lord the first time is because God had blessed them tremendously. He had blessed them materially. He had blessed them financially. He had blessed them in a lot of ways, and so they felt like they didn't need God anymore. And so, God kept warning them through prophets, you better turn around, you better change your heart, you better change your mind, you better start walking toward me, or things are going to get bad. Babylon's going to come. And sure enough, things got bad. But did you know what? God still loved them. God still loved them. No matter where they were, no matter the decisions they made, God still loved them. So, you know, the question is, God, in what ways have you loved us? So you kind of help me out. In what ways did God show his love to Israel? Manna in the wilderness? I can't hear you. Sorry, Frank. He gave them the law. Okay. Did you know that every prophet was Jewish? Did you know that? There's not a prophet outside of the Jews. What about Scripture? He gave Scripture. Did you know that the Israelites were the ones who were responsible for penning and writing the Scripture? And they did it by hand. There were scribes that just wrote that by hand. God gave the prophets the words, and the scribes would write it. And they would duplicate it over and over and over and over and over, just writing it by hand. Well, who else in the world would take the time to do that kind of stuff? God gave the Israelites that kind of mentality and the desire to be so meticulous in their writing that they would not mess up in any detail in the transcribing of Scripture. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? So which way, you know, we can just go on and on and on about the ways that God has shown Israel their love. But what about you? What about you? How has God shown you His love? This might be something you need to take home and work on and think about. Because sometimes if we forget about, if we go through difficult times, we might forget that God truly loves us. And it's good to have a record book that we could go back to and say, yep, God loves me. I see this. I see how He worked in my life in this situation. Yep, I see here. God sure does love me. Yep, God loves me. I see how He worked in this situation. It's good to journal those times particularly so that you can go back, because I'll guarantee you, you're going to have some difficult days. If you're not in them now, you're going to be. And I'm not trying to speak a prophetic word. I'm just saying that's life. That's life. And if you get to the point where you say, man, I don't know if God loves me, you can go back and you can start reading the record. And that what the Scripture is, what the Bible is a record of God's love, not only to the Israelite people, but to you as well. If you want to know if God loves you, you start reading the Word. Start reading the Word and begin to implement it in your life. Begin to embrace it. Begin to cling on to it like it is your life, because it is. I think a lot of people don't, when they go through struggles, they don't know if God loves them. One of the reasons is because they don't stay in His Word. They don't believe His Word. I want you to know God loves you. But you may not be able to receive that unless you are willing to meet with Him and pour into His Word and let Him speak that to your heart. Okay? So, what is God's proof to you? What proof do you have that God loves you? He provides for you. Good. Okay, never, every day, meet your needs every day. Paul? Okay. Good. Jack, did you have something? Okay. Okay, good. Good, Andrew. That's His love, isn't it? So I want to ask you this question, and you don't have to answer it out loud, but what is your proof? What is proof to God that you love Him? That's what Malachi is about. Helping us learn to love Him better. On your pink communication card, I've got some action steps. And I would like for you to just convey to me by checking these action steps. Number one, I know God loves me. If you know God loves you, put a check by that. or I don't question God's love for me, however it's stated there. The second one is, I often question God's love for me. If that's where you are, I'd like to know that so I can pray for you. The third one is, I want to love God more this year. Number four, my life is a struggle and I'm discouraged right now. The fifth one is, I will read the book of Obadiah this week. And the reason I'm saying that is because that passage of Scripture, I have loved you, says the Lord, yet you say, in what way have you loved us? And the final, and the rest of that passage of Scripture says, because I have loved Jacob and he hated Esau. Okay? So next week we're going to take up that passage of Scripture, I have loved Jacob and hated Esau. And you're saying, well, how can God hate? That's what we're going to talk about next week. Okay? So you'll have to come to be able to hear that. But Obadiah is a one-chapter book. I think it's like 25 verses long. And it is speaking about God's judgment against Esau. Okay? And so it'd be good if you kind of had some preview of what's going to take place next week. Okay? So read the book of Obadiah. If you're willing to do that, then check that. And I've already mentioned, if you plan to attend the membership class, let me know so we can get materials ready. This is more of a teaching format than it is a preaching format. I'm going to try. I'm not as comfortable in my teaching as I am my preaching, but if you need special prayer this morning, and maybe you're here this morning and you say, man, I just want to feel God's love. I'm discouraged in my walk right now. I'm discouraged in life right now. I'm going to open the platform up for you. Prayer altar, you come and you pray. If you need to talk to me about anything, then I'm here to welcome you. And if you're here today, I think I know most of you, but if you're here today without Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I want you to know that God loves you. He loves you so much that He gave His Son to die for you, to take away your sins. But we can only receive that gift if we receive Christ as our Savior. And so if you would like to experience God's love in maybe a way that you've never experienced Him before, you need to receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And so we're going to give you an opportunity to do that this morning. Father, I come before